Let's read something out of the book of Galatians here for a moment, and then we'll say something or read something out of 2 Adam and Eve. They hear in Galatians 6, 1 and 2, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," okay, and this has to do, again, with the application of this knowledge in their priesthood, the distractions that come with the challenges. So here, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual," see, understanding and speaking by the anointing, okay, "we continue to direct that, okay, when that which is good and wholesome concerning the priesthood, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, knowing that we all face these challenges, lest you also be tempted." All right, and he goes on, bear you one another burdens, and we do this through prayer and sacrifice. We actually bear each other's burdens, because this, our prayer here is a divine link. Okay, divine link and tether to the throne of God and to one another. We're all partakers of that one bread. We're all stones in that one tower. So bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, which is to love one another. How about one other Ephesians? Okay, Ephesians 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, the Apostle Paul is making distinction here between the Father, okay, the throne, okay, and the manifestation of the Son. Okay, he's governing our destiny, and he's parenting us, okay, through the tether of these treasures and gifts of his throne, okay, which we also will do during the 10th week, 7th part, okay, in the baptism of light, carrying on these traditions in his likeness and in his image, concerning the powers of our Father and the inheritance, okay, in the divine light. "Blessed be the God and Father." He's talking about we benefit as we increase his house. When you benefit reciprocation to our Father, okay, it also benefits all those that participate. "So blessed be the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." See the reciprocation and full and completed cycle here. Okay, from the bosom to the bosom. It's like from the hand of the sower, okay, to the ground, from the ground to the hand of the reaper, into that which is of the barn. Okay, then from the barn to the oven, from the oven to the stomach again. "So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings." And I highlight the word "all spiritual blessings," because we're talking about the gifts, the callings, the graces of God, government, truth, spirit, and prayer, preaching, and prophecy. All these spiritual blessings is to benefit, okay, the body. Okay, to benefit the body. Proper nourishment, okay, proper nourishment for the baby growing in the womb. Okay, and here the Apostle Paul is the voice of that spirit. Okay, the voice of the spirit, the voice of the Lord, okay, providing the ingredients, okay, as the ingredients were initiated for the incense, initiated for the anointing oil, which we see the numbers 9 included within that. Okay, the 5 ingredients for the one, the 4 ingredients for the other. Okay, 4 + 5 = 9, which has to do with the fruit of the Spirit, okay, which is connected to the priesthood. Okay, the candlestick, okay, the candlesticks, the candle, the oil for the lamp, okay, as well as also for the food put within the ingredients of the bread. Okay, the incense and the oil, because you sprinkle the show bread with the frankincense. Okay, "Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Okay, again, he's identifying its source, which is the throne. Heavenly places, not that which is found within the soil, okay, or marked by time, or where a thief can break through and steal, okay, or you could say, or any kind of token that will rust, okay, or any kind of token that will be consumed by the moth. Okay, "Your treasures are set in heaven," okay, through this priesthood. Okay, let's read something on a 2 Adam and Eve here before we get started today as the rest of the saints come in. Okay, as you're assembling today, in the 2nd, 8th week, 2 Adam and Eve, chapter 8. Okay, this is 17 through 19. And this has to do with the coming up to the time of Adam's death. Okay, after 930 years. You know, as the lifespans decrease greatly, as the population and one generation to another generation, okay, got further and further from the fires, okay, the fires of the Garden of Paradise, the Garden of Eden. Okay, the further you get away from the campfire, the cooler it is. Okay, and of course the presence of death is very evident today. Okay, as its burdens is felt very clearly upon our shoulders. Okay, the presence of death everywhere, plagues and fire, okay, vapors of smoke and hail, okay, blood, okay, earthquake and hurricane, floods and mudslides and more plagues. The hearts of the sinners have waxed cold. Okay, so let's read this, 2 Adam and Eve 8. Then he turned to his son Seth and to Eve his wife. And he said unto them, preserve this gold, this incense, and this myrrh. And the gold, frankincense, and myrrh were also found in the construction of the temple, as it is also the gifts of the three kings given to the King of Kings, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, let's see. What is this sign that he's talking about right here? The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. Okay, and here we can see the anointing, the angel of the Lord, which assisted Adam and Eve. It was now going to assist their understanding. Okay, that God has given us for a sign. Okay, well, let's see. When is this sign going to be? He says here, from the days that are coming, a flood will overwhelm the whole creation. 600 years before the event actually happened. Okay, the revelation was already being passed from generation to generation that a great flood was going to completely destroy this world and will overwhelm the whole creation, he says. But those who should go into the ark, the family of this one man, go into this ark, okay, shall take with them, of course, these tokens, the gold, the incense, and the myrrh. He says, together with my body. Okay, and, of course, Adam's body was taken by the family of Noah, just like Joseph was taken out of Egypt, that both the living and the dead left, that form of rapture. We can see that the living and the dead left, and that this rapture, the Gentile rapture, okay, that which is of Noah, as a Jewish rapture, that which is of Moses. Okay, we see the Elijah rapture, and we also see the Enoch rapture. The Enoch rapture, the rapture of the Gentiles. The Elijah rapture is the rapture of the Jews. Okay, we see that, the 144,000. And the time appointed would be, which would be the very center of the seven-year tribulation. After 3.5 years, okay, the second rapture takes place. Okay, but the righteous now will be taken in the first rapture. Let's go on here. Okay, and will lay the gold, the incense, and the myrrh with my body in the midst of the earth. Then after a long time, we're talking about 4,000 years, the city in Bethlehem, the city in which the gold, the incense, and the myrrh are found with my body, which he was buried on the place called the Skull, Golgotha, shall be plundered. Okay, but when it is spoiled, when it's plundered by kings, by armies, okay, it's going to be preserved. The gold, the incense, and the myrrh shall be taken care of. God will oversee its preservation until the time of its completion, okay, when the kings of this earth will bow the knee to the King of Kings upon his birth, okay, upon visiting him. Okay, it shall be taken care of with the spoil that is kept. And none of them shall perish until the word of God made man shall come, when the spirit shall enter into the form of a body, okay, that which is born of a virgin, okay, and shall offer him, to him, gold. Well, what does the gold symbolize? Well, this is what it symbolized, in token of him being king. Okay, incense, what does that mean? In token of being God of heaven and earth. Okay, and myrrh, what's that a token for? In token of his passion. Okay, being that which is a form of the flesh, he came in a form of his own creatures, okay, to communicate, okay, to communicate on the level of his creation, and according to the promise that he made all souls, okay, in the Father's bosom before the world was created, okay, that he would take care of his creation, and those which consented will be preserved to the inheritance. The gold also is a token of his overcoming Satan. Okay, and also the gold. The gold overlaps the gold. The gold has to do with the anointing. The anointing is what we labor with in the priesthood. And incense. Incense is a token that he will rise from the dead. Okay, as the incense arose from the altar of incense. It rose from a physical form, okay, into a form of vapor. Okay, which has to do with the physical death of Jesus and also his resurrection. Okay, being in that which is a spirit. Spirit and soul. Spirit, soul, and body. Physical and spiritual. a token that he would rise from the dead and be exalted above things in heaven. Okay, that all angels will now affirm and confirm this second covenant. They're no longer affirm nor confirm, okay, through the mouths of the prophets, that which Moses received. But all the mouths of the prophets will confirm that, okay, which the Lord taught his apostles. And we can see that unfolding in the book of Acts. Okay, exalted above things in heaven and things in earth. Okay, myrrh, in token that he will drink the bitter gall, okay, which has to do with that which is on the cross, and feel the pains of hell from Satan, okay, the oppressions of Satan, okay, which he felt on his earthly ministry. But going into the lower parts of the earth, okay, he brought deliverance and hope to the righteous, okay, which are in the caverns, okay, the caverns of hell, the righteous in the caverns of hell, whose conscience was yet defiled when they died, okay, they died with a defiled conscience, okay, had to be preserved in a separate chamber, okay, than that which those which died in their sins. The righteous which died in faith were being preserved by God from Abel, okay, all the way up to the last person that would be dying, and that was the thief on a cross. Though his conscience was defiled, yet his faith spoke, his heart, okay, and he was received and observed, and he carried that burden into heaven, okay, and others observed, who is this man, okay, whose countenance is that of a criminal? And he says, this man was forgiven of the Lord. Okay, he consented right at the point. He consented with his faith, okay, in regarding Jesus as the Messiah. Okay, and that's not a deathbed confession, by the way. Okay, well, we got a lot of things prepared today. All right, in Philippians. Okay, in Philippians chapter 1, we can pick up where we left off. Okay, as the Apostle Paul again identified his position in office, okay, as a steward, okay, with the chief elders, okay, of Peter, James, and John. Okay, the Apostle Paul, he also penning these letters, okay, in relation to the revelation which chief elder John received, okay, concerning this mystery, okay, concerning this mystery. And of course, we're going to be talking more about this great mystery, okay, which is really exciting, because we're all partaking of it. We've been partaking of it. We are partaking of it. We shall forever partake of it, concerning the chambers of our mansions, okay, which has to do with the chambers of our mansions, which are also the chambers of our throne, okay, which is in the very conscience of God. We're as pillars in the temple of our Father, which has to do with our divine presence, okay, within the very conscience of our Father, equal to him, being trusted, okay, in this dimension, with their choices of faith, and now being also receiving the full benefits of that, of those challenges and our choices of faith, okay, in the heart of our Father. All right, so we're going to start around verse 7. So starting at verse 7, we're going to see the Apostle Paul identifying course of stewardship to the bishops and deacons there at Philippi. Okay, even as meet for me to think this of you all. Okay, that means that you are worthy of this reward, seeing your soul is clothed with, okay, clothed from your nakedness, okay, the evil conscience. Seeing that your soul has already been clothed now from your nakedness or your evil conscience, okay, by the righteousness of the Holy City, New Jerusalem. Because the robes are white, glistening white, which is the righteousness of the saints, okay, which is a reflection of the Holy City, New Jerusalem. The Jerusalem which is above. So even as me for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, which has to do with his petitions, okay, which he brings this out, okay, in verse 4. Always in a prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy, okay, knowing that your obedience of faith, okay, is going to increase the kingdom of God, our family. It's going to increase the kingdom of God, okay, and God is going to issue more tokens and more gifts, okay, out of his love and care for us. And even as our Lord Jesus Christ said, it is your Father's pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Okay, God takes pleasure in giving, and we take pleasure in reciprocation to that gift. Okay, in other words, he packages this, okay, these gifts with his anointing by which we receive and speak one to another. And Aspect talks about your fellowship in verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, even as meet for me, we're back to verse 7, even as meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, as in these petitions. Inasmuch as both my bonds, the stewardship and bond to the altar, when he talks about both of my bonds, it's not always referring to that which is, okay, in his incarceration, okay, being treated as a criminal. Okay, but the bonds he's talking about is concerning his duties, okay, being lashed to the altar of Christ, okay, which has to do with this fire charity, okay, bond to the altar of Christ here. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and stewardship, okay, and both my bonds and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, okay, as your refuge, defense, without the knowledge of God being set within your heart from this foundation, okay, you have no scale of measurement. Everything is like a barcode. Okay, you don't really know what the price is in that barcode until you put the barcode, okay, through the barcode reader. Okay, then you can say, oh, this is how much it costs. Okay, well, here we can see in the foundation of truth that there's no longer usage of a barcode. You know the price. Okay, the price is your obedience being crucified with Christ. It has to do with the abandonment, the aspiration, the imagination, the principle. Being crucified with Christ, the flesh dies. The old man dies as a new man is brought forth and born. Okay, this is what we're following. We're following this divine pattern of the mother of us all. Okay, and it says here, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. You might want to highlight that. You are all partakers of my grace. Okay, that means of this grace here, the grace of my stewardship, okay, being this fire charity. Okay, now we come up to verse here, in verse 8. Okay, being partakers of this grace, we're going to read more about this in Hebrews chapter 11. For God is my record, which means Christ is the true pattern of our faith now. Okay, Christ is the pattern. Okay, and Jesus set the pattern in his flesh. Okay, if we set the pattern or record in our flesh, that is not truth. That is a lie. Okay, as Chief Elder, the Apostle John brings out, okay, in his epistle. Okay, but the anointing which you have received him abides in you, and you not any man teach you. And as the same anointing teaches you of all things, which we just read right here, okay, in his truth and is no lie. This is the foundation. The foundation is in a record of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he prepared for us from beginning from John's baptism to his ascension, whereof we are ordained to be witnesses of him, which we are today. We still give witness and confirm that which the Spirit provided for our faith, okay, our faith and our charity. Okay, so God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Lord Jesus Christ. This is the love seed, okay, of this knowledge which begets his children. See the bowels? The bowels, the womb, the heart. Okay? And we can see in the book of Revelation, okay, how the light of our Father and his temple reside upon, okay, the holy city, New Jerusalem. Okay, the bride. She is the prototype of this divine work being taken down here. Okay, even through this stewardship. Okay, the stewardship. I'm as a woman, you could say as a woman, okay, or is birthing. Okay, is birthing this knowledge within you from the breast of this milk. Okay, the milk, and this is what Chief Elder Peter brings out. Okay, whereas concerning the sincere milk of the word, okay, the church has been supping on the breast of the stewardship. Okay, so for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Okay, and this I pray, he says, that your love may abound yet more and more. That means that we can see the cycle. Okay, we can see the cycle of this increase. Okay, that the more you sow, the more you grow. The greater the harvest, okay, the greater also the enlargement of the family. Okay, the greater the harvest, the more you eat, the more you grow. So for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ, and this I pray that your love may abound, being unrestricted now. Okay, charity is not restricted. Okay, it's not restricted. Okay, though within the assembly, okay, we ask, because of the number of the saints which attend, okay, to make your sacrifices, okay, offer like one sacrifice, but there's not that many, if there's not many saints attending the assembly, then you can offer even one or two, as you wish. Or as you take a prayer walk, as you're praying in the spirit, you can offer as many sacrifices as you desire, whatever your heart is. Okay, knowing that every sacrifice carries with it, okay, the sense of your faith. Okay, the smell of your faith. Okay, the smell of your faith, the passions of your heart ascend together. Okay, even as the passion of the high priest, okay, offering his sacrifices upon the altar, the faith, okay, of his activity and the passions of heart would mingle together as a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. So this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. Okay, and how does this happen? In knowledge, he says here. This is more of unfolding by the anointing. He unfold more of himself. Jesus is unfolding himself to us, to you, okay, and for a shield and a scale in your discernment. So by his record, the Apostle Paul says, my prayer equals this, your remission of sin and your refuge. Okay, your remission of sin and your refuge. Okay, those which are outside, there's no remission, their sins are retained, because they're not following the proper procedure of keeping his commandments. As the apostle said, what commandments our Lord Jesus gave us, okay, after his resurrection and after his ascension. Okay, and this we can see in the book of Acts chapter 1. He by the Holy Ghost gave commandments unto his apostles whom he's called. So this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in all knowledge and in all judgment. Okay, that which has to do with your discernment here. Okay, now right now we're going to jump over to Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, so make sure you put your marker here in Philippians, because we'll be coming back there. Okay, and we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11 here. And we're going to read about Sarah, okay, Sarah and Abraham, okay, and the revelations which they have received. Okay, and it says right here, for Abraham did what? We're going to start with verse 10. For he looked for a city. He looked for a city. Well, where is the city? The Holy City, New Jerusalem. He understood the prototype. Okay, our Lord, when he visited him, he unfolded to Abraham this mystery. Okay, this mystery, and regarding the Holy City, New Jerusalem. Okay, a prototype. And Sarah was going to be a prototype, as Abraham is a prototype of our faith, being called the father of our faith. Okay, though we don't know him in the flesh, we never knew him in the flesh. Okay, yet our faith speaks of this, of this genealogy. Okay, we're children of faith, we're children of Abraham by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's the tether of our genealogy. The tether of our genealogy is that which is the tether of our faith. For he looked for a city. Okay, of course, that which is not marked by time. Okay, not a city marked by time. You know, Abraham did not begin his own city planning when he was on earth, saying, I'm going to build me a city after my own name. He didn't do that, okay, because he saw this. Okay, he saw this, the holy city. For he looked for a city, that which is not marked by time, which has foundations, the 12 foundations, whose builder and maker is God, is the Spirit. Okay, our Father built the city as a prototype of what he is doing in your heart right now and today. Okay, he's building the foundation of truth within you through the stewardship of the apostles, knowing that our mother, the holy city, New Jerusalem, okay, the city itself is as her womb, and the Father and the Son, the Father, okay, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the light of it. Okay, the anointing on the woman. Okay, the anointing on a woman is as the anointing upon the church, the body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ. For I look for a city which has foundations, whose builder maker is God. It's been framed by this anointing of stewardship. God now, he put the sign in the colors. Now you notice each foundation in the Holy City of New Jerusalem, okay, is in representation combined together as the rainbow. And Noah, after the flood, God put a bow in the sky, a rainbow, okay, which has to do, see the connection, refuge, stewardship, peace. Okay, refuge, stewardship, peace. The anointing, okay, works with this perspective. It works with your stewardship as your refuge, which is your peace. Okay? If we look for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Okay, as we see also in this foundation, okay, the foundation and the wall of the holy city, okay, are as jasper and a sardine stone, showing Christ himself joining us to himself, joining to the bride. Okay, joining to the bride. Okay, jasper and sardine stone. You'll see this in Revelation chapter 6, chapter 4, chapter 6, and also, okay, in 20, 21, 22. Now we're going to talk about Sarah here, as she is also a parable and a prototype. Now, because of her faith of reflection and recall, we're going to read about that in a moment here. Okay, so through faith also, Sarah herself received strength. Being the wife of the steward of the third week, she received strength and benefited. She benefited by the tokens of God's visitations, and her biological clock started again to prepare her womb, as God also restored her powers and youthful beauty. Okay, though she was 90 years old and out of season. Okay, at that point in time, you see how the spirit bridges the flesh. All right, Jesus walked on the water, which shows that the spirit is superior to the flesh. Okay, so you can see the symbolism within that. The spirit is greater than the flesh. And here, Sarah represented the church. Okay, that through her, though one would be born, okay, was also going to carry on a tradition of sonship and heirship. She received strength by numerous confirmations. Okay, when she left Ur of the Chaldees with her brother, okay, and went to Haran, okay, Haran in Syria, and been given to him and as a wife, okay, she, you see, at that point of time, okay, she had no revelation from God, okay, other than that which is voiced to her through the family, okay, that they should leave Ur of the Chaldees, okay, and they were moved by the Spirit unto another location, okay, where they settled down for a long time until Abraham was 75 years old, okay, and we're now on here. So she was reflecting upon these, okay, these points of experience, as we do, okay, we reflect upon these points of experience. Okay, I have three huge folders, 4-inch folders, full of confirmations and revelations and dreams and visions, visitations and words of knowledge, okay, and other experiences from drops of water, okay, to heat of fire, to electrical experiences, and other experiences which the Lord provides, and regarding the time which we live, okay, and also the position which I have, okay, in the second eighth week. Okay, he continually affirms these things, and that's why I put the illustration there, the 12 stars around the moon, which also represents the 12 stars also like represent the 12 tribes of Israel, okay, and also represents the government of God, okay, which is also the moon represents the stewardship, okay, which he would give, which would birth these people. And this is what we see also in Revelation chapter 12, if you want to make a connection to that. Okay, he saw the apostle, chief elder John saw a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars about her head, which has to do with those which should be born of this knowledge. Now, I'm not that woman, okay, but that's that was symbolic, okay, of that which on the 144,000, as well as also as the Father is putting that which a similar symbolism, okay, within my own experience as a mother of the church, as an example of that, okay. We go on here, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered a child when she was past age, being out of season, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Hide the word judged there, could mean she weighed these things. She weighed these also to the previous revelations and experience which God gave to her and Abraham. Okay, from the time that they came out from Haran, okay, and Syria, to come into land of Canaan, okay, the things which they experienced, and the revelations which Abraham received. He went into Egypt in poverty. Okay, but he came out of Egypt as a prince, a rich prince. And God, because this was God's plan, okay, and showing us the cycle, okay, showing us the cycle of coming out from the Father's bosom and returning to the Father's bosom, going into the land of Canaan, okay, leaving and coming out of Egypt into the land of Canaan, okay, out of the land of the Gentiles. Okay, it was over a child which is past age, she judged him faithful who had promised these things. Now, you can put a marker here because we're going to come back from the work of Genesis. Okay, so we're going to jump over to Genesis right now. I'm going to read some more of these interesting experiences that she had. Okay, whereas her faith was being built, it says here, received strength. Okay, she received strength. Genesis. And Genesis here, chapter 17, and we can see that these revelations were her covering, covered by the tokens of this light. I'm going to start here, okay, in Genesis 17:15. God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, that means because Sarah or Sarai here was a woman of faith, as for Sarah, your wife, you should not call her name Sarai, but Sarah, okay, not that which is the flesh, but that which is the faith now. Okay, because she is joined to your faith, accepting your testimony. That's why she accepted the testimony of Abraham being the third Enochian week. Now, he didn't know he was the third Enochian week until Melchizedek met him. And Melchizedek shared with Abraham out of the books of Enoch. And Melchizedek pointed out to Abraham, concerning the time of his presence and the lot of his fulfillment was at this time. And Abraham, the Spirit of the Lord, confirmed that to Abraham. And Abraham reciprocated Melchizedek. Okay, as king and priest, he reciprocated Melchizedek by these things, giving him a tenth part of all. Okay, the number 10 is, I acknowledge and accept your stewardship, and I acknowledge and accept your priesthood. Okay, this revelation, as Abraham would say, lends me strength and confirms these things which the Lord has revealed. As for Sarai, your wife, you should not call her name Sarai, but Sarah, should her name be called. Give your name be, because now you belong to me. Your flesh parents gave you a name for their house. Now I'm going to give you one for my house. Okay, the same thing as Lord did with us, changing our name. Okay, now verse 6. Okay, and I will bless her, which means I'm going to put a sign into her now, and I'll bless her and give you a son, and increase her faith by my gifts, which is supernatural. I'm going to bridge the natural. I'm going to bridge the flesh. I'm going to change her nature, and I will bless her and give you a son also of her. Yes, yes, I will bless her, which means the Spirit will do this now, the anointing. The Spirit will give witness to this sign. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Isn't it incredible? A mother nation, a mother of people, though she bore only one son. Okay, in other words, the origin of powers, that's to bear my likeness. A mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. Because I will manifest a sign on them also, as I did to you. See, we're children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. The sign which our Lord gave to Abraham is to be carried forth even into this week. Okay, that which is the third week, okay, the fourth week, as Moses brought forth, okay, that did I bear all these children? Did I bear all Israel? Okay, you notice the Lord, okay, selected him to say, if I were to destroy all these people, yet I will use you to build a house. Okay, even as he did with the house of David. Okay, using the house of David, okay, as an example, shows that God our Father was making separation again between all those which are circumcised. Okay, they were all circumcised, all Israel circumcised, but not all Israel was of faith. Of course, the Apostle Paul brings out the same thing. Not those of Israel are really all of Israel, being those which are the covenant faith. And so therefore God assigned a name to him called the House of David. Okay, just like today. Okay, not all those that are filled with the Holy Ghost are the House of God. So our Father is making distinctions again. Okay, making not that which is, you could say not that of all Israel, but the House of David. Making not all the church, but the House of Eva. Okay, the House of Eva, or Eric von Anderstedt. Okay, that's the name which the Lord assigned and confirmed again. Okay, he confirmed that again, in regarding giving me that name. Okay, the Eva, which is the mother of the church. Okay, as Sarah, being a mother of the church. Okay, the House of David, House of Eva. So God always makes separation distinctions. He gathers all the fish together. Okay, he keeps the good but casts the bad away. The Lord was making distinctions again, teaching his apostles even through these parables. Okay, there's going to be a great outpouring. I'm going to pull all the fish in, but then I'm going to throw the bad away. Okay, but I'm going to keep the good. Okay, and here we can see the same thing. And Sarah's revelations. Kings of people should be of her, and we will see this. Okay, we will see this unfold. Okay, in the 10th week. Then Abraham fell on his face. Now, Abraham laughed here. Okay, even as Sarah laughed, we see that in the next chapter. Okay, Sarah laughed in verse 18:12, and Abraham laughed here in 17:17. So, but here he fell on his face and laughed. but Sarah hears it there. Verse Satan laughed within herself. I mean, she wasn't as open about it. Okay, but Abraham was just taking over the comedy. Okay, but he wasn't laughing in doubt. He was laughing at the comedy. And regarding how God was going to do this. Then Abraham fell on his face and he laughed regarding the timing of the Spirit in his promise. Is rather funny to his logic. It was funny to his logic. So Abraham fell on his face and he laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born into him that's 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? But this is out of season for both of us. How can this be? And Abraham said to God, hey, oh, that Ishmael, the 13-year-old which is with me now. Now we're talking about natural and supernatural. That he might live before you. That's to be, he could be my next steward for the promise. But God was going to use not the natural sign, but the supernatural sign. Okay, that which is going to be a change of nature will be the true sign, not that which is in flow with nature. That which is in flow of nature is Ishmael. This will not be the sign. Okay, but that which is, okay, now that which was of Ishmael, okay, would be the headless bride. Ishmael would be the sign of the headless bride, whereas the house of Evo, okay, would be the sign of the true bride, okay, which is the holy city, New Jerusalem. Okay, and God said, well, now Sarah, see, only those that I select will be worthy of this. And the Lord said here, which he's governing his destiny by this revelation as he does us. And he said here, Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son indeed. And you should call his name Isaac. That's to carry out. To carry out a new tradition, which I'm going to give you. A new tradition was now being instigated within the life of Abraham. Things which were flowing in a common routine was now going to be changed by what God is going to insert here. Call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him. Oh, the word covenant comes in here. Okay, that has to do with the terms of service must be according to this. The commandments which I give you must follow this pattern, okay, if you're going to be identified with me. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed, and you shall call his name Isaac. Right? And I will establish my covenant with him, these terms, and with him for an everlasting covenant, and he shall bear my sign forever, for Christ will be the eternal seal. Okay, Christ is going to be the eternal seal. But Isaac shall my seed be called, because he is of your house, he is of the Spirit, he is of this promise, even those which are a house of God today. And a seed after him, a tradition of faith, and not idols. Okay, verse 20, because God elected him to be a parable. Okay, and in him also he's going to put a sign. The sign of a sign is a warning to double-minded. Those which profess, they profess the name, but they sow discord. Okay, and as for Ishmael, okay, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. All right, but there's going to be conflict. He's going to have 12 princes. So you can see that Ishmael had 12 princes and also Jacob had 12 sons, patriarchs. So there was a conflict here. That which is the flesh was first, but that which is the spirit is superior, okay, as God is doing today. The false religious system, they birthed their own apostles and prophets, and they also established their own system. Okay, that's the Ishmael apostles. They have their own form of government as 12 princes. But the promise, you see, is to that which is second, eighth week. Okay, that which is born of the Spirit. Okay, that which is the house of Eva. Okay, the house of Eva, which has to do with the chief elder. Okay, is also King David was a chief elder. Okay, and those which be joined to him, okay, they were the ones that received the refuge and the benefits of faith. Okay, they were the ones that beheld the Messiah coming down and announcing his presence and being taken to the seventh heaven. Why, they're the ones right now waiting with their bodies. And they're just as excited about the rapture as we are. Okay, we're excited about receiving our new bodies to escape the temporal oppressions of this world, the world of the flesh. Okay, so that we will be meeting them in the air, by the way. Okay, those which have died, they'd be going first, as Adam's body was taken to the ark, and as Joseph's body was taken out of Egypt. Okay, the righteous which died, their bodies will rise first, and we will follow right after them, and we will meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him. So we can see that the Spirit is going to use us, the Spirit of God. It creates the contrast. God created in the beginning, he created light and darkness. He created light because he is light, but he created light and he also created darkness. He created contrast. We have contrast today between good and evil. Good and evil, between the holy and profane, between the clean and the unclean. Hey, 12 princes, okay, which these will be profane and unclean. So he begat. That means he's going to have the counterfeit force. A counterfeit to force believers to build or to separate. That's the counterfeit force. So God created the counterfeit, and he also created the original pattern, original order, the origin. That's why Jesus is called true and faithful. He's called true because he is the origin, okay, of this. He's the original pattern, and faithful because of the consistency within this pattern. And we also bear that same label upon our faith, true and faithful. Okay, and make him a great nation, a blessing but no covenant, a blessing but no covenant. Okay, they're going to experience supernatural things. Okay, the false religious system experiences supernatural things. We experience supernatural things. Now, to the undiscerning eye, you can see why I don't see any difference between you, okay, this house, and then them of that other house. Okay, what's the difference? Well, the difference has to do with the calling and the anointing. That's the difference. Either you're Ishmael Christian or you're Isaac Christian. Okay, either you're David Christian or you're Saul Christian. Both David and Saul, King Saul, they were circumcised. Okay, Saul was circumcised. Okay, Saul also, he offered sacrifices. Where was the problem here? Where's the problem? Okay, well, the problem was he had no faith. But David did. Okay, so, but my covenant will establish Isaac. See, our Lord, in his wisdom, is making this distinction. But my covenant will establish with Isaac, okay, which Sarah shall bear unto you. Okay, now remember, Abraham's going to be sharing this with his wife. She's going to bear this to you at the set time next year, at the appointed time, at the appointed time frame here. Now, God left off speaking with Abraham, and then God, of course, ascended up. He went up, okay, from Abraham. That's very similar to what I saw when I was in South Africa, when I saw the candlesticks or the two glowing doors. Okay, the two glowing doors there, which is, they're on like Dossie Point. Okay, I'm just calling that. They don't call it Dossie Point. Okay, but I'm calling it that because that's where all these Dossies were at. Okay, which are like groundhogs. Okay, and that's where I was praying. I would go out and I'd go pray there at this Dossie Point, and where the two doors appeared is where also where I would put my prayer area. I would sit there or lay down there and I'd pray in the spirit, and these Dossies would start coming around me. Okay, I think they were looking at me as something, maybe a meal or something, but they were rather friendly, okay, the Dossies, and okay, even as I was praying, they would sometimes jump up on my lap, okay, and of course, they were rather hungry, but they'd jump up on my lap there, and I would pet them. Now, when left off speaking there with him, God went up from Abraham, okay, as he even did as he did with Adam, okay, being the father of our flesh. Now, we'll see what's going to happen here. Okay, how more confirmations can be given. Okay, we're going to see this now in the next chapter, chapter 18, more confirmations of Sarah. Now, her faith is being built up. She has 9 months now to build up for this experience. Okay, now the Lord appeared unto him again there in the plains of Mamre, and as Abraham sat in the tent of the door in the heat of the day. Now we'll go to verse 9 here, okay, of the next chapter. All right. So you can make some notations on that, how the Lord gave increasing experiences to Sarah, okay, for the purpose of this experience, that she would accept this. All right, so Sarah was informed of the Lord's visit, and of course, after the supper ended, she listened and also prayed, okay, as the Lord and Abraham, okay, are discussing theology. Okay, now we go on here. During this conversation, now God spoke to Abraham. And they said to Abraham here, where's Sarah, your wife? And Abraham said this, behold, she's in a tent. And he said, at this point, he believed she was praying. And then God said, well, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. There he uses the word again, time of life. They say, at the set time next year. Okay, and though Sarah, I'm going to bridge her signature. Say, the Spirit bridges her signature. The Spirit can add to your life. The Spirit can add years to your life, as he did Hezekiah. Okay, bridging the signature. Okay, your signature carries a clock. Okay, this is saying that, you know, we're not talking about a mechanical thing. Okay, we're talking about is concerning a spiritual thing. It's like a clock. Okay, and when it strikes at a certain particular hour, the body prepares for its release, the soul's release from the vessel. So God said, I will certainly return unto you according to the set time. And lo, Sarah here, okay, Sarah, your wife, is going to have a son. And Sarah was now listening to them on the other side of the door. Now, when Sarah heard it in the tent door, which is behind him, okay, you could say she was eavesdropping a little bit, but Abraham was sharing with her, okay, a lot of things which the Lord said to him earlier before he went up from him. Okay, and she was really excited about this, you know, and she didn't want to miss anything. She was, if she had a tape recorder, she'd be taping everything, okay, or she would ask her husband, okay, the steward there, she would give him the tape recorder and says, okay, look, I'm going to be in here doing some things and praying in the spirit, but would you record all this for me? Okay, now Abraham and Sarah were old. They're white haired, of course, and feeble in body because of their age. And that's part of the curse. Okay, that's concerning the aging of the body. Okay, science can't figure it out. They can't figure out why. Now, science I'm talking about, they can't figure out why the body ages. Of course, that's because of the curse. Now, the body is supposed to rejuvenate every 7 years. Okay, every 7 years, it's supposed to go through a form of rejuvenation. Okay, but that cycle there broke. And so the body continues to go on, okay, from rejuvenation, okay, into, okay, to the point of its exhaustion. Okay, so Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be at this point in time with Sarah after the manner of woman, feeling her physical restrictions. Therefore, Sarah laughed. See that in verse 12. Now remember, when Abraham laughed, okay, it was rather evident. He couldn't hide it. Okay, he just exploded in laughter because of the comedy of his logic. Okay. But she was recalling her petitions, and she was, and of course, amazed. She was amazed at this, but not really shocked at God's strange ways. Okay, the strange things which the Lord does. It's strange to the carnal mind, okay, and the natural mind finds it very difficult to fit the spiritual things into the scheme of their logic. Therefore, Sarah laughed. She said within herself, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure? Why, this is out of season for my body. A very strange act. After I'm waxing old, shall I have pleasure? My pleasure, my Lord, being old also? When may shall my husband really find any kind of grapes in this vine? Okay, you can say, spiritually speaking, her grapevine was in the stages of winter. I mean, there was nothing growing on them at this point in time, her grapes. Shall Abraham find any grapes on my vine? Now the Lord here, verse 13, the Lord, our Creator, added this thought to his creature of the flesh. And the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore does Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which I am old? Does your wife find my words rather humorous? He's saying, okay, wherefore does Sarah laugh? Feeling anxiety, she was rather elated with a short breath. Wherefore does Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which I am old, because my vine has no grapes? Verse 14, but God is the oath of all creation, and he can reverse nature as he pleases. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return. He says it again. He's marking a time frame. Okay, we can see on more occasions than one, our Lord gave a time frame. And I also believe as he gave a time frame to Enoch, when he was going to be taken, he gave a time frame to Elijah, when he was going to be taken. I also believe he's going to give a time frame to us when we will be raptured. Now we're just awaiting that time, the revelation, that time frame. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I'll return unto you according to the time of life, as you said before. Now Sarah is going to have a son, just like I said. Then Sarah denied, saying, she was now reasoning with her expression. She was saying, I wasn't really mocking, but musing this paradox and choice of time. For I believe you, Lord. But the angel reaffirmed her short breath. Okay, and Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Her short breath, though I heard it. Now remember, angels, their senses are 7 times greater than ours. Okay, their ears, their smell, their taste, their sight, okay, is 7 times greater than that of an Adamite. Okay, now we're going to receive that blessing. Okay, we'll receive also, let's see, our other bodies. Everything will be intensified. Right now, everything, okay, is very restricted. Okay, and in retrograde, instead of your eyesight getting better every 7 years, your eyesight decreases. Instead of your hearing gets better every year, it decreases. Instead of your smelling gets better, that decreases. Your taste buds, instead of getting better, that decreases. Instead of your mobility, when you're not running very, very many marathons anymore, even that decreases. In other words, you begin to feel more and more restricted. No, but you did laugh, he said here. Now, God has further distancing the Amorites from Abraham. And this is why he's going to go on the incident here. There was a certain incident which transpired when Abraham came out of Haran, okay, of Syria. Okay, and that had to do, okay, with the tradition and habit of the Amorites. Now the Amorites had a tradition, okay, that one, if one was to be friends or neighborly with the Amorites, that they have to share his wife with them. Okay, sharing his wife with them, which means that they want to feel, okay, it was rather a lustful tradition, okay, but it was rather to feel, Okay, neighborly. If you want to be our neighbor, Abraham, you have to give Sarah to us so that we can have a way with her. Okay, then, of course, then we know that, we know that you're not hostile or angry with us. Now, see, this is what got Jacob's sons upset. And they said, shall they take Dinah, our sister, and make her a whore? And then that is to be part of their house? So you can see that was a tradition of the Amorites. Okay, which, of course, Abraham had said this, say that you're not my wife any longer. Tell me you're my sister. And they won't insist upon this form of engagement. So this is why God then began to tell Abraham certain events were going to transpire after this visitation. I'm on my way, by the way, Abraham, to Sodom, and I'm going to check that out. Okay, and this is what he says here. Now look at verse 16. Then the men arose after eating, the Lord and the two angels with him, and Abraham decided to walk and discuss the business of the, at hand here. And the men arose from there and looked towards Sodom. Okay, that's why I shared that with you. This is the land of the Amorites, as Sihon and Og, king of the Amorites. These were idolatrous people, and they engaged in all kinds of immoral things, even with angels. Okay, and we can see that was going to happen at Sodom. In Sodom, the people want to engage with the angels, the watchers. Now, Abraham went with them. Now, he's 99 years old now. And he attended their presence there for their departure. It's the heat of the day, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way down the road outside the campsite, and outside of prying eyes and of itching ears, the curious servants here. Okay, and now let's go back to Hebrews 11. Let's just give a little history on that. Now let's go to Hebrews 11. Let's read some more about this marvel, okay, as concerning her pregnancy. Okay, and we're in Hebrews 11 here. Okay, we're gonna look at now Hebrews 11:10. Okay, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he had to receive from here, and so obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Now let's go to verse 10 here. For he looked for a city. Okay, he looked for a city which was not marked by time. He looked for a city which has foundations, the 12 foundations, which represent stewardship, whose builder maker is God, is framed by the anointing of stewardship, whose builder maker is God, is framed by the anointing. Whose builder and maker is God. God now who put the sign in the colors, okay, of the jasper and the sardine stone. Now let's go to Sarah. Through faith, also Sarah, okay, because of her faith and her reflection and recall, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength. She conceived seed and delivered a child when she is past age, because judgment faithfully had promised. Okay, now we'll go here down to verse 12. We're going to continue on. Therefore, sprang there even of one, God set a new tradition, okay, in the sign of power. In Isaac, therefore sprang there even one of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of heaven, which is the sons of fire, as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand, which is by the seashore, which means the children of these waters. So you got the star and the sand. Okay, the star is fire, the sand is water, and that is his name, Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. Star, Christ, sand, Jesus. Okay, God becoming in the form of flesh in this dimension, the waters, the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Now these all died in faith, which I shared earlier, not having received the promise, thus the total benefits of his fullness, no generation yet, but yet they had dreams and visions. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, the revelation. They were persuaded of them, which we are today. We've seen them afar off, we're persuaded and embrace them, which means we reflect, we rehearse, we reciprocate, okay, seeking faith. We're speaking faith, seeking faith and charity, and confessed that they are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They are strangers because their faith was different than the world's religions and pilgrims, which has to do that we're just passing through. We're not putting a roots here with the aspiration. Okay, let's see a little more about Sarah, okay, and 1 Peter. Okay, so I'm turning to 1 Peter, and we're going to read some things here quickly because of time. Now, Chief Elder Peter says this. He says in verse 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Okay, now, why would God do that? Because the female has twice the powers, but the male has the gift of the stewardship. Okay, this was to care for those powers. Okay, through her powers, she would be a priesthood to bear forth the stewardship. Okay, we can see the same analogy today. Okay, now let's look at verse 4. But let it be the hidden man in the heart. That is by accepting the wisdom of God and his confidence, the confidence of your prayers and your spiritual priesthood. But let it be the hidden man in the heart, and that which is not corruptible, defiled with the evil knowledge of this world, that dwelt the powers that benefit the flesh, but even as an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, being that tokens of silence and long-suffering and offenses, okay, not bantering of, nor for justification, because God sees the heart. Okay, of course, I had a word of knowledge on that in 2012. That which is a meek and quiet spirit, which is the sight of God of a great price. Okay, all things, God reward you. Okay, it was really amazing, okay, how the Lord has been answering so many prayers. I just find it incredible. I remember things that Maria, Chief Elder Maria, was praying about years and years and years ago. All of a sudden, bang, 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 all kinds of things are just happening. I just really find it incredible. Okay? So that's a great price in the sight of our Father. For after this manner, in the old time, as in ancient time, we witness these things in the behavior of those of ancient time. Okay? When those which were faith faced the same kind of challenges. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also trusted in God. They reflected upon the revelations. They trusted in God. Reflect upon the revelations of Sarah. And as Rebecca, okay, even as Rachel and Leah, they reflected upon the revelations. They said, what the Lord spoke to you will follow. See, they did the same thing. They're women of faith. After this manner in old time, the holy women also, okay, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being what? Subjection to their own husbands, okay, which means they consented to the stewardship of the male. For God put the map in the male, okay, to service both. And to build with them, even as Aaron with Moses. Even as Sarah, now look at verse 6, okay, we see as another example, even as Sarah, Abraham's wife, she being sanctified for her obedience, perceived the powers that were given, acknowledged also his Abraham's unique stewardship. Such strange things that he would ask and do, sacrificing my son, circumcising the body, my, okay, but she accepted that, okay, she didn't stand in the way. Okay, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, this represents the church, whose daughters you are, accepting the revelation, as even circumcision, building a house. As long as you do well, and not afraid with any amazement, okay, not to resist as Zipporah did Moses. We see that in Exodus 4. Zipporah resisted Moses, she was a Midianite. She had certain issues about circumcision, okay, and she thought circumcision, okay, was rather... okay, of a heathenistic practice. Okay, and it was only given to Abraham that she insisted that. But yet the Spirit of the Lord moved, the angel of the Lord moved Moses, you better do this quickly before you lose your life. Because the revelations which we have received requires a circumcised heart. Okay, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well, in sacrifices and prayers, not afraid with any amazement of change. Not that it says, he's not talking about, of not playing mind games. For many sinners contradict the idea that only Abraham worshipped the true God. Okay, now we're going to go to, we're going to go back here to Hebrews 11:13. I think we already talked about that. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, dreams and visions on this prophetic path. That which our Father gives to us is for the purpose of keeping our feet in a straight and narrow on the prophetic path. Persuaded them, embraced them, and confessed them, strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Okay, we're coming back up to this point. Let's go back now to Philippians. Here we read a few more verses here. I'm going to jump over to Psalms for a second. We'll have some fun there. Now, there's only a couple of verses there in Psalms we should be reading, but let's move on here. That you may approve the things. Okay, now having understood this mystery, okay, which after the seven thunders, okay, the seven thunders utter their voices, okay, the mystery of God should be finished, okay, upon that which is when the seventh trumpet sounds, the mystery of God, that which the seventh thunder is uttered, should be finished. What is that mystery? Okay, which has to do with the symbolism of the church, okay, which God is building within you. Our Father is building the holy city right within us. Okay, if the Father and the Son is in the holy city and the Father and Son is within us, I and them and thou and me, that they may be one in us. You can see the symbolisms of this, of how God is building, constructing the holy city in you. So if the holy city sees a reflection of herself in you, as our mother knows the smell of her children. The mother knows the smell of her children. We see that in nature. The mother knows the smell of her children. Okay, even Adamites know the smell of their children. Okay, and our holy city, New Jerusalem, the mother of us all, she smells herself within us. Okay, and allow us entrance into her. Okay, that you may approve things that are excellent. Okay, so the knowledge that you speak makes you a stranger. See, and the body which you're in makes you a pilgrim. Okay? You're just passing through this dimension, gaining knowledge and experience and rewards only to leave this place. Okay, we're just tourists here. Okay, we're just tourists. We're not putting down our roots. Okay, we're not building cities for our own name. Okay, we're not trying to achieve the goals of this world for their own peace and security. Okay, we preach the gospel of this covenant that you may approve. Okay, now you can discern and weigh and properly share all these tokens, because if the calling, the stewardship is the scale. God put the scale within the stewardship. Okay, as you brought out earlier. Okay, that you may approve things that are excellent. Well, how could that be possible? Okay, except first there's an understanding. Okay, the ground has been prepared for this building. The false religious system reads about it. They read the documents about this mystery, but yet they can't achieve it because they don't have the tools to do it. They're reading the Bible like a novel, and they're trying to role play its participants. They're making a play out of the Bible. They feel that they're by role playing these things, okay, that somehow or another they're going to enter its reality. That's not true. Okay, that's the headless bride. Okay, headless bride is a bride that, okay, without any kind of government. So let's verse 10, and we'll read this end here. Okay, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense to the day of Christ. Okay, now we're going to go to Psalms quickly, and we're going to see that this tradition was carried forth by all the patriarchs and people of faith. This is Psalms 119. You can mark this down. Okay, I know some of you right now are getting your sacrifices ready. Okay, Psalms 119, and we're going to start around verse 49. 49, remember the word unto your servant. Okay, there is a reflection right there. Okay, David is reflecting upon the revelations which he previously received. Okay, the things which was revealed to him, and a confirmation of Samuel, of the anointing oil going on David's head. Okay, and the things which Samuel, the seer Samuel, as a prophet, okay, showed David, these things are going to take place, but you're going to be the next king. Remember the word of your servant upon which you caused me to hope. Okay, in other words, this is what we build confidence with, and by this confidence we get comfort in our mind. The peace of God works with this knowledge. That shows you're in the truth. The peace of God works with this knowledge. That means you are embracing the truth. Okay, this is my comfort in my affliction, contradictions that we see every day. For the word which your word has quickened me. That means this word of knowledge here, which you have provided, this is my reflection upon your grace. This gives me my peace. Now that those of Saul, the proud have had me greatly in derision, because all those outside of covenant do is sow questions to tempt me to doubt Samuel's anointing on me. Okay, the proud have had me in greatly derision, but yet I have not declined from your law. There was great musings of heart, but that doesn't mean you're departing from God. Great musings of heart. And our Father, in his great mercy, continually provides tokens after token after token, whether it be a dream or experience or a knowledge or a word of God, okay, through another saint. It's a token for your confidence. I remembered your judgments, he says here, your policies for me. I reflect this pattern. Even the pattern of the ancients, says Enoch, and this is what he's saying here, is Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, all the patriarchs. He says, I remember your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself, okay, that I haven't departed from this divine tradition of your blessedness. Neither have we. We have not departed from the divine tradition, okay, of our fathers, okay, of the ancients. Okay, they followed the anointing. We follow the anointing. They build with the covenant. We build with the covenant. They function at an altar. We function at an altar. All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Okay, if you want to come and come with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him with out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.